All right, good evening. I am Eddie Fury. It's a debut of the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show, along with my co-host from Thumbtoe Getter Sports, taking over as sports director, Jonathan Bisher, man.
Eddie, I'm glad you're not sick anymore so I can come around.
Yeah, I just got back today.
He's still sick. He's
not contagious anymore.
And the other guy talking right there, right here in downtown Sandusky at the Sandlick Broadcasting Studios, stopping by to visit from his office down the couple blocks from us. From the Sandlick County News, sports editor, sports reporter, sports writer, sports photographer, and a frequent patron of the Benchwarmers in Elk Street Brewery, Mike Gallagher.
Eddie, that's quite the introduction. Thanks for having me.
It's very accurate.
Yeah.
So, Sportsline on a Tuesday here, the high school football sports preview show, you could say, but it's also the debut of the Sportsline Now in the evening, Sportsline radio show on Monday and Tuesdays. First of all, how do you guys like the time change?
I like it better because now I don't have to wake up early Saturday morning, and it makes going to the bar after a game much more plausible.
Yeah. By the way, It's high school sports. It's high school students, so we really don't mention what we do afterwards, but okay.
I'm over the age of 21. Who
you
cares?
Go there for the food.
Yeah, I love to eat. I brought in Dairy Queen here because I was hungry.
Who, by the way, is a frequent sponsor of our high school games.
I like the new showtime. I'm a little bit disappointed those Saturday mornings when I'm driving up to Wagner Park for cross country. I won't be able to listen to you, but
you can listen to Scott and them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. By the way, we will have Scott Bowlesby on with us also. He is from the Tuscola County Advertiser. He is a sports writer. Is he the editor too? Or just a writer?
Sports editor, yes. Yeah. Yep, sports editor.
Scott B is from Sandusky, by the way. I don't think we can call him Redskins anymore. But
no.
I'm going to have to get used to that Thursday night. Oh, my God.
That's right. And and then we also have Paul Adams later on. He gave us, I think he pre-recorded him. He gave me a good half hour.
That's what we like to hear, Paul. Yeah. Way to go. Way to take one for the team.
Yes. Yeah. He's very happy with the time change also because he's available also. So and the reason why we made the time change, like you said, it's hard to get up in the morning after Mike's been, you know, he's trying to get his deadline ready to get most of the work done. But a lot of the info.
The night's not over when the game's over. You guys know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still a lot of work to be done.
Scores are flowing in.
Yep, and people you know, as soon as you get your work done, it's like, all right, I'm going to head off to bed. No, you got to unwind after a night like that. So,
Well, and sometimes we go, you know, we get these games that are far away that are intriguing to us. You want to drive an hour, you're not getting back home till 11 midnight at night.
Yeah.
You turn around and be back here by 7 a.m. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
It was rough, and it still is, by the way. And I'm the morning show guy. So,
I guess we can't complain too much, though. I mean, we do get to cover sports for a living. So,
well, you do, don't you?
I mean, I guess it's not all bad.
Yeah, and by the way, a big shout-out to the backbone of sports coverage, folks. Get your subscriptions to the Sandlick County News. I got mine. I just got my subscription to Tuscola County Advertiser to get that Greater Thumb West info.
Yep.
So I will wink, wink, hand that off to you guys, whoever needs it. And I also got a subscription to Times Herald to Port Huron also.
There you go. I would also recommend picking one up for the Men in City Herald. Their coverage
You're right.
Nathan's
I should.
A great job up there. Yeah.
Oh, Nathan's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. He's so nice.
Yeah.
Yep. And he's able to give you that in depth coverage of the three specific
his stories. He does a true story on a game. It is so. Yep. He's a great writer.
Yep.
You know, you could tell when he first came in, he didn't know a whole lot about the area or football, Thumb football, but he still wrote a great story, and he's become actually a decent part of the TSA.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and then support the TSA, by the way, it's a Thumb Sports Writers. I like to add the Media Association to it because...
Well, at this point, it's more media than sports writers.
Yeah.
With the way it's grown in the past couple of years, which, you know, we love to see. So.
We still have our traditional newspapers, but now you got Thumb Area Sports Network. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys are just all about highlights and pumping, you know, getting these kids out there for people to see because... Up here, we're so secluded that sometimes you don't get to see some of the great athletes that walk around in this area.
Absolutely.
And may I say, stamping I guess I'm putting it in the ground, starting webcasting way back then, now over a plus decade, I don't know, if I'm talking to sports. Now you got some other webcasters out there doing the thing.
Yep.
You got new sports writers with their blogs also out there also. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I want to make a little shout-out. She was one of my favorite athletes. Good kid. In fact, she's a sister of our Player of the Year last year. Jake Townsend.
Yes.
Kaylee Townsend's out there covering sports also, mostly in the Blue Water area, I believe.
Yeah, she's doing a great job, and I don't know, you know, her and Get Stuck on Sports, they have such a broad coverage area, and they cover such big schools, but it's weird if you think even a couple years ago, that area, that general area was covered just by the Times Herald. So to see two media groups like that pop up, and they both do a great job. You know, Callie going in with her new website and everything. She's been just pumping out content. So it's great to see. I mean, the more coverage we can get around this area, the better, because we're not going to get it from outside sources. We have to do it from within.
And it's different types of coverage. You got Callie that's writing these articles about people and teams and stuff like that. Well, then you got Get Stuck on Sports that's doing live broadcasts of games. Well, then you got your old-fashioned newspaper where you can go recap a game that, you know, the week of. So there's still all sorts of avenues of coverage is what it is. It's not just everybody beating a dead horse the same way.
Right, right.
All right, so we went on a tangent there to introduce everybody. So we're moving to sports line.
We introduced everybody that's not here even.
So, and of course, we got other radio coverage. I will be taking over the Sand Lake Broadcasting play-by-play coverage and call now. Ashley Wayne and Palmer will be with me for our first game. It'll be Brown City Green Devils playing their first eight-player football game.
And Mikey Smith.
And Mikey Smith, who will also be doing.
Mikey Strickler.
Now that we got this concluded.
No, he might. No, he did say he was busy. But I apparently texted the wrong guy because I got so many guys that I can lean on. Thank goodness for that. Bless you guys. I apparently texted the wrong guy. So Mikey Smith will also be helping out with Thumbtuggeter Sports as he has since the beginning. I do believe John, of course, is taking the lead on that on Channel 1. Phil Nickel will be covering a game on Channel 2. You'll be covering the game Sandusky at Lakers.
Yep, the Thursday night. And then Phil will be heading to Reese for Reese and Cass City.
Yeah.
A little cross-conference rivalry there with Reese and Cass City.
Talked
we'll get into that later.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. And we'll, of course, I have Scott Bowlesby, Paul Adams later with a one-on-one interview that I did with him the night before. So we'll be right back here. It is Sportsline here on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sportsline, high school football sports show. Sportsline now on Mondays and Tuesdays on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. With me is Mike Gallagher of the San Luis County News, sports editor, sports writer, reporter, and also my co-hosts. I'm Eddie Fury, along with Jonathan Bitcher of Thumbtuggeter Sports. And on the phone with us is Scotty B., Scott Bowlesby, a Sandusky native, now in Carroll, working for the Tuscola County Advertiser and the sports section, sports writer, reporter. Scotty, how you doing, man?
What's going on? It's deadline day, and it's always a fun time.
I'm glad I don't have deadlines.
Now, when does your preview issue come out?
Tomorrow. Thank God it's gone.
Great.
It's out the door.
And I want to let you know, Scotty, instead of asking you to get me a paper at the Speedy Q there, or Scott's Quick Stop, I am now a subscriber. And for $52 a year, that's a bargain.
Absolutely, yeah.
For your subscription there, for the paper, by the way. So,
hey, there's two papers a week. The online only on Saturday. People hate it. You know, we're not a big fan of it, but it is what it is. And the actual printed version on Wednesday. So, you know, we still put stuff in the Saturday paper, still put a lot of cool stuff in there. So, it's definitely worth it. And, you know, if I wasn't working here, I definitely would subscribe and and still enjoy it. There's a lot of good stuff in there.
And the same deal with the San Lake County News, by the way, under $40 a year is just way big bargain. Sometimes it's down to $30 or $28 a year.
Yeah,
so,
we got deals.
Yeah.
Or you guys could be like Paul and be free.
Yeah.
To Huron County.
All right, so let's dive into it. We're going into the Greater Thumb East and a change here for the Greater Thumb East. Two teams that dropped out, KPEC and Brown City going to eight-player football. Now Cass City slides in. The Redhawks come into the Greater Thumb East. And Cass City already played Harbor Beach and Ubbly in the past, as well as Sandusky. Usually ends up going to the playoffs where they meet up also. Mm-hmm. Scotty, in your neck of the woods for Cass City to come into the East, this is a team, and I talked to Paul Adams about this coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. This is going to be something. Cass City from what I understand, is only going to be in this league for a year or two.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, and it's only in football. Everything else is going to be staying in the West. You know, it's going to be different this year. It's going to be a change. It's going to be weird not having them. You know I do share them with the Huron Daily Tribune, but they're kind of like my team, I guess. But, you know, they did cross over every now and then. But this year it's going to be weird, you know, not having them play a lot of my teams. They do play teams still in the West, but I am going to have to share them with the East now. And there's some stuff, there's some stiff competition in the East that they're definitely going to be, you know, they're going to be battle-tested week after week. I mean, you just look down their schedule and it's absolutely insane, to be honest with you, the teams that they have to play for the most part.
And you wanted to say something, Jonathan?
Well, you talked about Cassidy only being in the East for 1 year. This is going to be some big news coming out, but there is talks of a mega conference in the Thumb getting formed. The NCTL and the Greater Thumb Conference forming into just a one absolute giant conference. Now, none of this is set in stone. It's just talks.
Yeah.
So there's no guarantees. Cassidy might end up in the East for good if nothing happens. We don't know, but it is talks that we could have a mega conference in the Thumb and be like the Big Ten and just stretch from one end of the country to the other.
Yeah, that would be that'd be insane. It'd be fun, though.
It would be fun.
But we're going to deal with what we got going on for this year. And here's Cassidy, if they only last a year here, they can make history. They can not only put in their trophy case as the only team to win a Greater Thumb East title, but maybe, you know, not only a Greater Thumb West title, but also a Greater Thumb East title. So think about that history. You think they're going to want to play hard this year to maybe try to put that in the trophy case and be the only team to accomplish that.
Yeah, for sure. They're going to be looking to add some more hardware. That, you know, they were on a hot streak there in the Greater Thumb West. You know, they were last year a little bit of a down year for them. They had a lot of youth last year that are got to have experience. So they're going to be ready to roll. I know that the East is going to be tough though, but you know, Coach Cutterell, they have a lot of returners this year. Kind of an interesting thing, though, is not returning is Riley Swiderski, the starting quarterback last year. Carter Patrick's actually going to be taking over the quarterback duties this year. So he is just an all-around athlete. So it'll be fun to see him and Peruski over there in Ubley, two great athletes and, you know, maybe possibly two of the best athletic quarterbacks in the Thumb area as far as all-around athletes go. So it'll be interesting to see those guys square off. And you know, I was talking to Coach Cutterell and he said, you know, we don't have to only play the Ublies, the Harbor Beaches, but we have to go on the other side now and play against Reese, Laker, and then their only off week not in the conference is against Beale City week 9. So there's really no off week.
Are they going to be able to bounce back after last year's 5-5? You know, that was a rebuilding year, of course. You know, they lost a lot from those three, maybe four great straight years making it through the playoffs there. Are they able to bounce back?
I think so. I think this year, you know, they got a good test right away against Reese. Reese is going to be another one of those teams that are down, brand new coach, a lot of new pieces coming in. So that'll definitely tell. But you know, right after that, 1-2 punch, you get Laker, Harbor Beach back to back week. So if they're gonna get it rolling, you know, and I'm not going to be the first one to say anything bad about the Cassidy football or anything in Coach Cutterell camp, because I've learned my lesson on that one. you know, and I'm not gonna down them at all. So I'm definitely gonna say this will be a comeback year for Cassidy.
The only thing is, I think gonna fuel the fire for Cassidy is coming over to the East. So like, well, everybody's saying, well, Ubley's still here, Harbor Beach is still here, Cassidy. Like we said, they controlled the West for about 4 or 5 years there, up there with Lakers and USA. They're coming over to the East, and they want to show that the West was tougher than the East. So I think that's just going to fuel the fire for them to try to knock off Ubley and Harbor Beach, who it seems like for, what, the past 20 years have had a stranglehold on top of the East.
I mean,
Sandusky might have two
every
league
once
titles
in, a while,
in the last
up.
20 years.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's been Ubley Harbor Beach. So I think Cass City's, watch out, like you said, it could be a whole different thing in the East this year with them.
Well, and if you look at Cassidy's schedule last year, I mean, we talk about how maybe it was a little bit of a down year for Cassidy. You know, they had a lot of youth, they were rebuilding, but at the end of the season they were playing hot, and
we all thought going into the playoffs they were going to be a tough team to beat. And then we don't know what happened in that Marlette game,
right?
But everybody had Cassidy beating Marlette, and it would be an Ubley Cassidy in the districts, and going, if Ubley's going to lose early in the playoffs, it's going to be from the hottest team in the area is Cassidy, and then Marlette pulled something out of their derriere in that game,
yeah.
beat them, and then laid the big old goose egg in the district championship.
So
Cass City's, they beat Harbor Beach last year.
They did, you know, in Harbor Beach.
That, when they were on that run last year, they beat Harbor Beach.
Well, they had the guy by the name of Jordan Mester.
That helps,
that
yeah.
No one could really stop.
Yeah.
So let's say, who is the favorite for the Greater Thumbies, or is it now a question mark, or does Ubley, kind of...
Well, I still think you got to put Ubley first, mm-hmm. and after what they've done the past 3 years, but that number two spot, that's where the opening is. Is it Harbor Beach or is it Cass City there? Because they were both about equal last year going against each other, it seemed like. So who's going to take the edge there, and who's going to really push Ubley for that, league championship? Because either of those teams can do it. It's not easy. Harbor Beach can beat Ubley at any given time, and we sure know Cass City can beat Ubley also.
Yeah,
well, I know Sandusky, maybe not necessarily the favorite, but I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest
they could pull
if they
an upset.
Finish second. I mean, they have two. They start the season with Lakers, Bad Axe right off the bat. So you're going to be battle-tested once you get into Greater Thumb East play. And, that's a team that returns almost everybody from last year's team. The East is just such a gauntlet this year. I don't know if you can beat Ubley, Cass City, and Harbor Beach, but Sandusky's probably going to beat one or two of those teams.
And if they beat one or two of them, and it being, let's say, they beat Harbor Beach, Ubley, and then Ubley and Harbor Beach turn around and beat Cass City,
right.
We could potentially have a three-way tie up top between those teams.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, definitely it could. Just looking at the schedule here, and, it's Sandusky, Ubley, Marlette to close things out in the Greater Thumb East. And, Marlette's young. They obviously lost a lot of talent, but Coach Denny Lester is just such a good coach, and I'm always looking for him to pull out one upset or at least push a team to an upset, to the brink of it at least. And I don't want to overlook Sandusky or Marlette in the East, but I still think, as JB said, you got to put Ubley at the top with what they've done in the past, and that could be 2A, 2B, 2C after that.
And with the exception of Memphis Yellow Jackets, the Greater Thumb East right now probably have the longest reigning head coaches in any conference right now. I mean, Cass City's got Cuthrell's been for a while. Troy Shelkey's been there since he's been born out of his mother's womb. Marlette, Denny Lester's still there. Sandusky, Craig Jacobson still at the helm, who came from the Ubley system. And again, I guess the shortest term, but he's been with the system for so long.
Yeah, Sweeney's only been the coach in Ubley for 3 years, right. But he's been in the program for about 30. So
yeah.
it's they just rotate. It seems like every about 5 years, they just rotate a new coach in, but no one goes anywhere.
Yeah, that's crazy to think. And, not to jump over to the West right away, but, Laker, they have the longest tenured coach in the West now. I mean, you got four brand new coaches in the West.
Yeah.
And,
Faster's only been there. This is his second year.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you'd have USA, you'd have Hans, longest tenured coach.
You're right. So, Han has been the longest tenured. But before, we were talking about Cuthrell, who's going into his 22nd season this year. And for the longest time, he was it. And now, you're looking at Han as the longest tenured. How long has he been there? Like 5 years, 6 years?
I'd say six or seven.
He was after Lang's?
Yeah, after Lang left.
Yeah.
He was in the program for a couple of years before he got hired.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And so, as big as a question mark on the East and number two, after Laker on the West, kind of the same type of thing. I expect Bad Axe to be out there as well. But I don't mean to jump ship real quick, Eddie. But just kind of comparing the two sides and all the question marks that are coming into the season.
All right. So before we get to the West, let's just make our predictions here in the Greater Thumb East. Let's talk about some key players. Key players for Sandusky there, Mike.
Key players for Sandusky.
Yeah, I need to know this for Thursday.
Yeah, they're going to be along the offensive line. Mitchell Davis is a four-year starter on both the offensive and defensive line. Corey Lamson, Coach Jacobson's really high on him this year. Nick Lean, he's going to be good at the tackle position. The key question for Sandusky is who's going to be running behind that offensive line. And, Tyler Franzel got a lot of carries last year, and I'm looking for him to emerge and have a big season. Kyle Giebord at quarterback. He looked really good at quarterback at the USA scrimmage last week, but he also looked really good at safety, I thought. And you know that's what you need in the back of your defensive backfield, a smart player like that.
Yeah, and there's some pretty good pedigree behind Gibord there, because of course his father was a good player, a good golfer too, mm-hmm. but his grandfather is former Deckerville coach and Marine City coach Bob Soskavich.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Connecting the dots like Eddie always does.
Wow.
And my cousin, by the way. He's my cousin.
So there it is. There it is.
All right. With Sandusky there, where you talk about those players, 3-6 last year, do they bounce back and get over that 500 mark and make it back into the playoffs this year?
Absolutely. Yeah, last year was a little bit of a rebuilding year. They had such a small senior class. I think it might have been Tovar and maybe one other guy.
I think only graduated two or three kids.
It might have been just Tovar. And, you know, he had a great season last year.
Oh, he did fantastic.
You know, 3-6 last year, and they almost knock off Reese at the end of the year. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think that was just, okay, Sandusky, they're figuring it out. And now this year they're just going to hit the ground running, and they have the same group that was really playing well at the end of the year.
You talk about making back into the playoffs, and I like to think Sandusky will be the most improved team from last year to this year in the area. But I don't know if they can make it into the playoffs with the gauntlet they got.
It's tough.
You start Lakers, Bad X out of the West, 1-2 mm-hmm. from last year. Then you go Memphis, Marlette. So they're 2-2, we'll say, probably halfway into the year. Then you got Cassidy, Harbor Beach, Ubley, Reese, USA.
Whoo!
To round out the year.
Stretch.
So you got to go 3-2.
You got to go 3-2 against probably 5 out of the best 8 teams in the Greater Thumb Conference.
Yeah. It's tough. And, you know, when you look at Marlette's schedule, I think it's pretty similar in that regard. Marlette's a team, they're going to be rebuilding this year. They're going to be really young. But when you look at that schedule, okay, Carroll, USA.
A little more favorable at the beginning.
Memphis, Vassar. And then the week 9, it's being talked that maybe it's going to be Waterford, Our Lady Lakes, which you'd imagine Marlette would probably be favored in. So that gives you 2, 4, 5 wins.
Marlette's maybe right on that cusp.
Then you have to beat Sandusky, Cassidy, Harbor Beach, or
we got to remember this year, the playoff system is not about record, it's about points.
Oh,
so
man,
Sandusky could get in with a 3-6 record, and Marlette could be out with like a 5-4 record.
That's going to be hard to get used to, because the saying always was 6 and you're in.
It's not anymore, though.
That's going to throw
Sandusky with playing a bigger school in Reese, mm-hmm. playing the bigger schools in Lakers,
yep.
and Bad X, that could benefit them rather than going and playing, you know, a smaller, well, not Carroll. Carroll's the biggest school in the Greater Thumb Conference, yeah. but, you know, the smaller, Vassar's and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you just don't know. But both of them, I mean, Sandusky's probably got the brutalest schedule, I would say, out of all the teams.
Yeah, and the other thing here, Scotty, is now mm-hmm. with this Greater Thumb Conference as a whole, a lot of crossover games and how important mm-hmm. these playoff points are, there really is really no break. Maybe, you know, with the Memphis and Vassar out there, Carroll maybe.
Maybe.
You know, there is really no break, is there? You maybe get 1 week and that's it.
No, I was just kind of looking over the schedules when you guys were talking about them. And, you know, like you said, Marlette, they start off with Carroll, you know, but then they jump right into it. They get Ubley, Sandusky, Harbor Beach, 3 straight weeks there. And, you know, that's never an easy thing to do. And then they close it out with Cass City at the end there. They do have Vassar, another one of those question marks here in the West. I couldn't tell you what's really going to happen with those West squads and what they're going to bring to the table. But, yeah, and then you look at Sandusky. I mean, Laker, Bad Axe, like JV said, right away. I mean, Cass City, Harbor Beach, Ubley, you throw Reese and USA in there, and Marlette's in there as well. It's like, holy cow, there's really no room to breathe.
All right, that's Scotty Bowlesby there from the Tuscola County Advertiser. Follow him on Facebook on Let's Talk Sports. Your game of the week this week on the radio station 92.1 will be what?
It would be Millington, Detroit Southeastern. The Jungleers are coming to Cardinal Country.
Coming to redneck territory.
Okay. All right.
Whoa.
Yeah. All right. And you cover the Tri-Valley, so you have a wide coverage of conferences to cover also in your area, so kind of lucky.
Well, I noticed this with Cassidy coming over the East. Scotty covers every single conference in the TSA.
He does, yeah.
The North Branch and the BWAC. He's got the whole West just about. He's got Cassidy in the East, and he's got the NCTL Stars and Stripes covered.
All right. Busy man this fall.
Makes me tired thinking about it.
We've already eaten up our first half hour. We'll be back in the next hour after our news at the 6 p.m. hour and be back around 6:50 p.m. for our next segment. We're going to talk about that Greater Thumb West. By the way, who finishes first in the East? Real quick, rapid fire, Mike Gallagher.
Sandusky.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
No.
Scotty.
I'm going to go with Ubley.
I'll go with Ubley, too. All right, folks, we'll be right back here.
Homer.
We'll be right back here on Sportsline High School Football Sports Show.
Yeah, but I have two other voting on my side.
We'll be right back here on Sportsline High School Football Sports Show on WMIC, AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Welcome back to Sportsline High School Football Sports Show and Sportsline Now in the evenings on Monday and Tuesdays, 5:30 to 7 p.m. right here on WMIC, AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Later on, after the conclusion of our shows, we'll upload it for you to listen to later at sanacbroadcasting.com. Our game of the night on Sanac Broadcasting, WBGV 92.5. We will have the Peck Pirates at the Brown City Green Devils in high school 8-player football, and we'll get to that later. But right now, let's talk about the Greater Thumb Wild West is what I call it. The change of dynamic now is Cass City leaving the conference, going to the East. And now we look in the Greater Thumb West, where Bad Axe, Carroll, the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers, Reese Rockets, the Unionville Sabine Patriots, and you have the Vassar Vulcans. Well, you have four of your coverage teams coverage area there, Scotty. Yeah. So how's this look for you?
A lot of question marks. I'll be honest with you. A lot of new coaches, a lot of new faces.
All four of
brand
your teams.
New. What's that?
Three out of the four teams for you got new coaches, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Reese, Carroll, and Vassar. You know, Carroll, I just never know about Carroll. I was actually just saying the other day, this year is the 20th anniversary since the last time they made the state semifinals, and next year will be the 20th year since they made the playoffs without the 2020 year being involved. So it's been a dry spell, to say the least. Carroll needs to figure something out. They got a brand new coach in there. He's been with the program from the middle school, or from the youth to the middle school, now at the high school level. So I don't know if they have what it takes to make that next big step. They have athletes in Carroll. I just don't know. They have a pretty good quarterback as well coming into his own. He's only a junior this year. I think he'll take another big step. They have a great athlete named Riley Parker. I'm just looking for that leader on the Carroll squad. Then you look at the Reese squad. I really like some of the pieces that they have over there. Kerry Messing has high hopes for them. That's a huge loss, though, from all the seniors they lost, losing Cody Reif at the coaching position, implementing a lot of new stuff. Then you go down to USA. You know, USA it seems like every year the football team gets smaller, and it's unfortunate because the kids that are out there are really, really good athletes. I mean, you got Landon Russell, quarterback, and, I mean, Mike was there. Some of the Sandusky kids were just saying, wow, he's fast, when he was blowing by them.
And they might have one of the best offensive tackles in the area, too, and he's just a junior.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you'd like to see a little bit more on USA, and I think, you know, Coach Hahn has high hopes for them from the sounds of it. And then you got Vassar, who's way off the map, it seems, at some years. You don't even notice that they're around. They got a brand-new coach. He's been to Timbuktu and back as far as his coaching experience. He's coached out in North Dakota. He's coached down in the Metro Detroit area, Byron, Memphis, anywhere you name. He has been a part of the coaching staff at one point in time, it seems. But he is going to be taking over the Vassar squad. You know, a lot of the names have gone, the few that I did remember from last year. And they got a young man, last name Gleason, taking over the quarterback role. So, again, the best thing I can say to you, in my coverage area, a lot of question marks, a lot to be seen. And this will be definitely an interesting year from the Tuscola County advertiser perspective on the Greater Thumb West.
Yeah, I really like the Lakers, though. They bring back a lot of good offensive players also. They got a nice, big, Brendan-type of Ballard offensive lineman also who can make big holes, I believe. I do believe, for the Lakers, you'll see him there. If you remember him from last year.
Is it the Braun kid?
Paul talks about him, yeah.
I believe it's the Braun kid. Yeah. He was a massive offensive tackle for them.
But, you know, the thing about the Lakers last year, on and off, they couldn't be consistent because of the injuries. Now they're fully healthy. If they can take care of themselves, they're into this second year of Dale Lavassar's system also, which was kind of frustrating for me because there was a lot of, you know, play call changes, and it took a lot of time. But now I think these players are ready with the system.
The lone question for me with Lakers is who's going to catch the ball for them. Mm-hmm. They like to throw it around. McCain throws a beautiful ball. We've seen it at the end of last year when they kind of got things figured out. But they lost their 6'4" wide receiver, Dylan Wainer, who could jump out of this world. They lost their number 2 receiver in Michael Good that might have been just as good as Wainer. It's going up and high-pointing a ball. Then they lost their do-it-all athlete in Logan Collins and Russell, all the graduations. You lined them at quarterback. You lined them up at running back. You lined up in slot. You lined them at tight end. You lined them out wide or wide receiver for reverses. The only thing that they really have returning for him, and it's not really much of a returning because he missed all of last year, is Ethan Wisner in the backfield. Yeah.
But if he stays healthy this year.
But if he stays healthy, he can run for 1,500 yards and no one would be surprised.
Right, right.
But
who was their big running back last year?
Collinson Russell.
Yeah.
And Kretschmer too. Yep. But Kretschmer missed like the first 3 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. So he was tail end of the year too. So, I mean, I forgot about Kretschmer. You lost Kretschmer too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
and you lost the best offensive lineman in the area in Colton Oyarvides.
And I don't think there was a week. I don't think there was a week where you had all three of those dynamic offensive players all playing in 1 week. Not even at the Powamo game, fully healthy.
Wismer, Kretschmer, and Collinson Russell never played a game together last year.
Man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so against that in that Reese playoff game, that Reese playoff game, they blew us all away. Like we went there expecting a good game. The rains came and it just washed away every single hope that the Rockets had. It was a clinic put on by the Lakers, to say the least.
Yeah, they played some of the best ball at the end of the year when they lost to Reese in Lakers. I think me and Brandon Deakins did that game, and there was a lightning delay and everything, and they just came out flat after the lightning day. They had a chance to win it, and I don't know what clicked after that game, but I mean, you talk about knocking off Bad X and then blowing out Tawas, blowing out Reese, beating Hemlock, and then really hanging in there with the state champs in Powamo, Westphalia. The score shows 20-0, but I'll tell you this much. In the first quarter, when they were down 7-0 and they had the ball at about the Powamo 16-yard line and they turned it over, if they don't turn it over there and they score, Lakers wins that game because all momentum was going their way. And you could just see it in Powamo's eyes is what's hitting us right now. And just McCain made one bad read and the kid picked it off.
All right. That's the greater Thumb West. Anything else you want to add, Scotty, to the West on that?
No. I think it's going to be Huron County's title to take this year, unless one of my teams surprises me. But I'm looking at Laker Bad X. But again, like I said, it's going to be Laker, I think, and then you can go 2A, B, C, D, E, whoever, who knows. I mean, beyond that, I've heard good and bad stuff about Bad X this year. I've heard, you know, good stuff about every team, and then I've also heard bad stuff. So it's a lot of hearsay until they get out in the field.
Yeah, and I talked to Paul Adams about this later in this hour. A little bit of mini drama there with Bad X coach now, Coach Verberg at Bad X, who just 2 years ago was the head coach at Lakers also, which was a pretty good season they had too.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. Lakers knows Verberg. Verberg knows Lakers. What's going to happen? Because like you said, it's a Huron County's title to take between Bad X and Lakers. And right now I'm giving the edge to Lakers just because of that run they made last year. We all expected Bad X to make that run. Of course, injuries bit them at the end of the year is probably why they didn't make that run. But Lakers, I mean, they're returning McCain and Wisner, and that can be a dynamic duo as long as they find that third X factor, someone that can catch the ball on the outside.
I think that Sandusky Lakers game is going to answer a lot of questions for us. I mean, I know it's only week one, and you can't put a whole ton of stock into a week one game. But Sandusky Lakers, I mean, that's a week nine matchup. I mean, that's going to be a great game to see week one and, you know, have some of these questions answered.
And you got Ubley Bad X. So both Lakers and Bad X are going to get tested right away from a team from the East. And remember the last year, Bad X Ubley to round out week nine, that came down to the wire. Mm-hmm. If Ubley blows Bad X out of the water and Lakers beat Sandusky, everybody's going to be, oh, it's all Lakers. Right. If Bad X beats Ubley, Bad X is going to be riding high on the West until somebody knocks him off. So we're going to know a lot after week one with 8 weeks to go.
That's exciting.
All right.
Yeah, totally.
here on Sportsline, High School Football Sports Show on Sportsline Now in the evenings, Monday and Tuesdays, right here on WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM. We'll be back, and we're going to talk about some other themes in our coverage area, the Blue Water Area Conference, because, a lot of talk about what Croswell can do, or will North Branch bounce back, and Elmont will be in the mix also, as usual, and can Richmond rebuild from their lost couple years there also. We'll be right back here on Sportsline High School Football Sports Show. Welcome back to the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show. I'm Eddie Fury, your co-host, along with my other co-host, Jonathan Bisher of Thumbtuck Hitter Sports. And with us is Mike Gallagher of the San Lake County News and Scott Bowlesby of the Tuscola County Advertiser. Pick up their respective publications. San Lake County News preview comes out tomorrow on Wednesday, and the Tuscola County Advertiser comes out tomorrow on Wednesday also. Get your subscriptions. Not too late to subscribe online also. You'll love the pretty picture, plus you get to download it, and it's kept there forever on file. All right, So we move on to the Blue Water Area Conference, which has made great strides. We've had a long-time coverage on Thumbtuck Hitter Sports also, but with North Branch coming in, this is another coverage area team that Scott Bowlesby gets to cover, and Jeremy Furman in the last, three, 4 years here has really made great strides for North Branch, really built them into a winning team. And now you just can't look past North Branch anymore. But Croswell also got a new coach the last couple years. They made great strides also back in the playoffs. One of the good runs last year also. But the Elmont Raiders are the Elmont Raiders also. They've had a couple down years here and there, but they just rebuild and continue to play well. In fact, they still probably have the best winning records.
Elmont's down year 6-5 and you make the playoffs.
Yeah. So, Scotty, North Branch Broncos. Yeah. Jeremy Furman is still at the helm. You got a great quarterback and commander, who started young, still at the helm there.
Yeah. Yeah, Will Damasca. Of course, my internet's not working now, so I can't load up my my information from Coach Furman. But I can tell you this, they returned 20 starters total this year. Will Damasca coming back for his fourth year. I believe he's started at quarterback every single year. I remember the first time I saw him was at Atwood Stadium in Flint against Lakeville his freshman year, and I said, wow, this kid looks pretty good, and he's grown ever since. So, they're returning a lot. It's tough to beat experience, and it's tough to beat a coach like Jeremy Furman. He has proven at North Branch that he has been able to turn around the program. I think they won one game his first year, and they have, I believe, been playoff bound ever since. So he's done a great job of building that program up. I thought it was maybe like the best stretch they've ever been on, but from like the mid-70s to the mid-80s, they lost like one game per year at one point in time. So they've had historically good teams, but now they're kind of bringing that back, and they're making North Branch a team to beat in the Blue Water Area Conference, which is pretty fun, especially when you cover them.
You've also brought North Branch's name, I would say, much more into the thumb, into the north, where these teams in the Greater Thumb Conference are kind of going like, well, that. They're kind of becoming a team in the area. They've always been a part of the TSA, but they're starting to pump some players in through there, like a Brandon Martin that was a Defensive Player of the Year. Guys like this that there's some big-time names here. It's no cakewalk anymore.
I always thought it took a little bit to get used to North Branch being in the BWAC because, they had been in the Tri-Valley Conference, and it seemed like, that's a Tri-Valley Conference team, not a BWAC team, but... Man, they've really just settled into this conference. They've built a great rivalry with North Branch or with Croslex, excuse me.
That has taken over.
And that's
this
been
area.
In the last 3 years. A rivalry has been born, and I think North Branch has just been an awesome fit for the BWAC.
Yeah, Will Damasca, 408 total passing yards for 2021. So they don't pass much, but they're a running team.
No.
They're a running team. But he did rush pretty good also. Let me see. What do I have totals here? I think 2021, 461 yards. Not bad for a quarterback. And what, 16 touchdowns is what we have?
That's where it's impressive. You only run for 400 yards, but you got 16 touchdowns. But Damascus, if I remember correctly, he's a bigger kid at quarterback. Not tall necessarily, but built and strong. So, Furman likes to use him down at the goal line. He's kind of that fullback, that bowling ball that will just power his way into the end zone, where you know, we had a lot of different athletic quarterbacks we talk about in this area, but no one's built like a Will Demasco, where he's probably, what, 6 foot, 200 pounds, and will just run you over. Mm-hmm. We got quarterbacks like Babcock and Peruski up in Albion Harbor Beach that just run around and buy everybody. Yeah, yeah. Or Russell, as we talked about at USA, that just
too,
flies down the sideline.
All right, so
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, once we lost Drake Deshetsky, or once they lost him at North Branch, everyone kind of thought, hey, you know, that's the class they're done with now. And they just keep bringing in pieces and keep rebuilding. So I think Furman has proven himself, and that North Branch is here to stay.
Yeah, well, they started off the season kind of weak, I would say. Thurston, have Emily City, then they'll have Yale. Who, by the way, Garrett Grunman's the head coach there, a former Crosslets football coach.
Yeah.
And then they'll have their true test. Of course, the big rivalry game. I'll probably end up covering this one. One of us will. September 16th against Almont. Algonac is out now, Scotty, right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard, right? Mike tipped me off on that the other night.
Yeah, Algonac's out. I don't know. Are they officially out week one? Are they going to play basketball?
No. So here's what they're doing week one. I guess they're still dressing all the players 9 through 12th grade, and they're allowing them to play JV. And so Vassar's doing the same thing. I didn't know that was legal. I didn't know if that was allowed. But that's, I guess, what they're doing. Maybe they're not letting them play. Maybe they're just going to have them dressed and hang out on the sideline and let the JV play.
Consider it a scrimmage?
Yeah, I don't know if you consider it a scrimmage, maybe. But my question is now, are all these, like, Vassar, week one, they have no chance of finding somebody.
No.
Marlette had a chance to find, you know, a week.
Well,
week nine opponent with Ottawa. Ottawa was able to find Marlette. They had a little bit more time. But does Vassar get a win for a forfeit then from Algonac?
Yes.
Yeah.
If they can't find a game?
Yep.
So there's a win for Vassar. We talked about a question mark there.
Big playoff points for Vassar.
Yeah, that's big playoff points
for Class B school.
Big school. Vassar wins a game or two in the West. They could be a sleeper, you know, jumping back to the West here a little bit to make the playoffs.
They made the playoffs last year with a losing record because of their schedule. They picked up big playoff points against Lakeville, against Memphis, because they're a big co-op.
Yep.
It's not, I mean, it's about who you beat now.
That's what,
you know?
Talking to Ubley's head coach, Eric Sweeney, he goes, we love playing Memphis.
Yep.
We get goo-goo playoff points from them because they're like three times the size of Ubley.
They're a Division five school in football, I think.
Yep.
Division five or six.
Yeah, they're a big school. And
so that big showdown September 16th for North Branch is against Almont. Not too far down the road. Algonac is out of the picture. They'll have Richmond after that, and then Armada and Croswell Lexington.
Armada was a sleeper team last
year.
Watch out for them again this year.
Yeah, they should be improved once again and carry over what they had from last year.
I would think so.
Yeah.
You know, so the BWAC, you know, we talk about North Branch and Croswell Lex being on top and Almont. Armada and Richmond, Mikey and Phil did a game from them last year, and they said they had a freshman quarterback that's an absolute stud. Mm-hmm. And Armada was a very solid team last year. Don't be surprised if those two teams make some noise in the BWAC, and if it Cross Lex or North Branch gets upset by one of them.
The thing I like about North Branch and Cross Lex's schedule, if you look at North Branch last year, they started off a little bit slow, but I think they rattled off six wins to end the regular season. And when you have a team like that, like once they get rolling,
they're tough to stop.
They're tough to stop. But then you look at Cross Lex, and they lost so many talented players from last year, and they're not rebuilding, they're reloading. But it is going to take you a few weeks.
And look
to
who
get
they start
going.
Off the season with,
right?
Swan Valley.
Yeah.
So by the time you get to week eight, you're going to see North Branch and Cross Lex at their absolute.
I'm glad that's an end of the year game.
Yeah.
I wish Ubley Harbor Beach was an end of the year game.
It should
Lakers
be, yeah.
Badass
yeah.
is all these games need to be a week seven, week eight game. Let these, you know, blue blood programs get rolling.
Mm-hmm.
In a year of COVID, what was the first week of the season of the game? It was Ubley Harbor Beach because it was week three.
Yeah.
You throw a freshman quarterback for Ubley in against Harbor Beach. It's just like, save that game for the last, like North Branch and Cross Lex do. We want to see these big time rivalries at the end of the year when it matters, when they're fighting for playoffs. Because even when you're a rivalry team and one of the teams is on a down year and they're not going to make the playoffs and they know it, they're going to do everything in their power to make sure the other team doesn't make the playoffs.
Right.
All right, so let's train that transition. Talk about the Pioneers. They were 10-2 last year. Huge strides last year. Blue Water Area Conference champions also. Lost to Freeland in the regionals, 22-42. Guess what? They're going to revisit Freeland in a regular season at the end of the regular season.
But Freeland's
got to
come here this time.
Yeah. So, but Croswell Lexington starts off tough. They got Swan Valley in week one. How about that matchup, man?
Oh, I wanted to go watch that one.
I was thinking about it for a second, but the thing with Croslex last year or this year, you look at so in the TSA they had the player of the year, defensive player of the year, offensive lineman of the year. All three of those guys are gone. And you also lose Sage Slanik at wide receiver, Kyle Nara on the defensive line. You just lose this great senior class. But Croslex is heading into the third year of Mike LeGros, and they're at the point in their program where we're not going to be hampered by losing a senior class like that. We're just going to keep rolling. And they make it to the regional finals last year. They don't want that to be an anomaly. They want to build on that. And that's why you see Swan Valley week one and Freeland week nine, because
why you seen Williamson week one last year.
Exactly. You have to play those type of games if you want to be a team that can make playoff
and
runs like that.
We talk about them losing Townsend, but they just bring in this guy by the name of Gavin Espinoza that might be more of a freak of an athlete than Townsend. Now, Townsend might have been the best quarterback. Well, he by far was the best quarterback in the area last year. He picked apart every defense, but Espinoza is just a freak of an athlete also that, okay, we're just going to, we're going to miss you, Jake Townsend. Go have fun at Northwood. Yeah. But LeGros like, all right, come here, Gavin. You know, you're my buddy now.
Yeah. Well, and they got two great receivers in Jackson Gonzalez and Drew Hosterman. Obviously, on the offensive line, it's going to be tough to replace Matt Lyons, but you have Benito Mendoza at center, Joey Ramsey, probably the best offensive lineman in the Thumb right now. And, you know, we talk so much about Croslex's offense, but their strength might be the defense this year.
Scotty, I know you're going to have to see the Pioneers. I know you want to cover North Branch, but is that a game that it's on your map?
It is actually on my map. Since they've opened it up, the booth is much more accessible, much more welcoming, I guess, for media, because now there's two spots, so I can share the booth up there. But they moved away coaches on the other side of the field, so there's much more room up there, I guess you'd say.
And they said they're willing to throw a radio station up over there, too.
Yeah, and in fact, that's what happens when you start winning. The boosters start supporting.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we tell the Ugly to do something like that where they can fit more people in there? Because that's crammed every year we go there.
Just got internet there a little while ago. Let's give them some time.
All right, your take on the Pioneers. Can they continue their success from last year, or what Mike had just mentioned? You lose a lot, but you still had a pretty good support system as it was. They've had winning seasons since 2015 at least, with 6 or 5 wins all the way through. But actually, since 2019, they were 4-5. But 6-2, 10-2 this year, and Mike LeGros season there. So he's in his third season now, I believe.
This will be his third season,
so
yeah.
So can they continue the success?
I think they can. They do have some tough opponents. Those are the teams that they're playing are no joke, obviously. Freeland and Swan Valley are both in the same conference as Frankenmuth, so I will be able to get in more in-depth, but it's going to be later on in the season. But I do know Swan Valley is, you know, pretty good year in and year out. Freeland, I know that they were really tough last year, and they have some good young players coming up. They have a monster of a kid that I think like 6 foot, I don't know, 6 foot 6, and he was an 8th grader last year in dunking. He's just a monster, and I guess he's just a freak athlete, and he's getting Division I looks already, and it's wild. But so he's going to be coming up. I don't know if he's playing much this year. I don't know much about Freeland, but looking at, you know, Croslex in the BWAC, obviously we can say the BWAC is tough. Eddie, you've covered the BWAC a lot more than I have, but just, you know, you look at the names, and you look at some of the football history there with, you know, Richmond and Elmont and North Branch now and Croslex. I mean, there's a lot of good teams in there. And, you know, I think that they can get back to that. I think Coach LeGros, a very smart coach. And I got to see them at the end of the year against Freeland last year. Very impressed. Obviously, those players are gone. But I trust in what Mike Gallagher is saying, that they are not rebuilding. They're reloading. And, you know, I think they're going to be able to squeeze out enough games to be able to get in the playoffs.
I do want to allude to the fact that, you know, Jonathan mentioned Armada looking good last year, and they might be a dark horse. I think Richmond might be able to bounce back this year. You know, they were young and, you know, rebuilding there. But, you know, the Elmont Raiders, the last couple years, they haven't really been talked about. Well,
COVID yeah. year really hurt yeah. them because they yeah. had a forfeit games due to COVID.
Because we yeah. were at a state final in 2019, if you yeah. recall, Jonathan.
Yep. And then yeah. COVID hit. That really hurt them. And I don't think last year they ever fully recovered yeah. from having that year where they only played like three games. Yeah. So that really hurts a team.
I yeah. think what nobody's really talking about, Elmont, and I think they're that type of team. They still have the same coach, James Loosby, there, who was under head coach Jeremy Firm for some time in that yep. system, that I think they're ready to come back and say, hey, you can talk about the Croswells and North Ranches and even our Armada or Richmond to a degree, but hey, don't forget, we're still here. Maybe they like it when you're not talking about them too much.
Yeah, see, there's a yeah, lot of yeah. teams that like to just fly under the radar. Then all of a sudden, about week six or seven, they're like, oh, hey, did you forget about us? Yeah, yeah, we're running the table over here.
Yeah.
That matchup, of course, they open up week one with Marysville for Elmont. They'll have Algonac, Emily City.
And Algonac no more.
That's right. And that game's out. So September 16th, of course, that salivating matchup that we might have to send one of our guys over there for the Elmont-North Branch game. And then they'll have Armada and Croswell, Lexington, and Richmond. That's a gauntlet for Elmont. North Branch, Armada, Croswell, Lex, and Richmond. And maybe Yale to a degree.
I think Yale will be better this year. I don't know if they're ready to make the jump to the postseason, but they're ready to make that next yeah. step at least.
And you're seeing these teams now where they used to take a little bit of a cupcake game in Week 9, no more, because Elmont has Goodrich. Oh, and yeah. look what Croslex did with Freeland also.
You got to get those playoff points.
It is all about the playoff points. Yeah. We've seen it in the Cass City getting Beale City.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
these teams are going out and they are trying to find these powerhouse schools to play.
Mm-hmm. And I think the powerhouse schools are happy because before they couldn't schedule a darn game.
Right.
Nobody
That's
would play.
Well, it's the same
That's
thing.
True.
No one would schedule like we Ubley or Harbor Beach yeah. on a non-conference game because they
Millington
didn't want to go.
Struggles with
Millington
well,
struggles
yeah.
with it too. Frankenmuth always yeah. struggled with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because who wants
Real
to go
quick.
Get their butt kicked?
Yeah.
I was going to say, real quick, Week 9, if you're interested in seeing North Branch play Three Rivers, they're actually playing that game at the midway point between Three Rivers and North Branch at Okemos High School. So,
nice.
Yeah, nice. It's a nice turf field. I've looked at it, and I've been kind of thrown around the idea of covering that game, but I'm not entirely married to it. But if you're yeah. interested in going to see it, it's going to be at Okemos High School.
All right, for me, for the Blue Water Area Conference, I don't know. I think it's a toss-up, personally. I think it's a toss-up right now.
I think I'm not as high on Elmont as you are, but that's only because I don't know anything about yeah. Elmont. I think right now it's the same thing as Ubley in the East. It's Croslex until somebody beats them. And that's not to say that North Branch, it's not a 1A, 1B situation, but I think right now Croslex is the favorite.
Scotty?
I've got to go with one of my coverage teams in North Branch, returning 20 players from last year, and they were fantastic down the stretch. I think they're just going to roll it right on over and continue rolling.
I'm going to be the one that's going to say it's a 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D. It's okay. any four of those teams.
Yeah.
It's any given night. It's really who stays the healthiest? Because mm-hmm. when it comes to football, yeah. you're dealing with injuries. North Branch is returning 20 starters. Four or five of them go down. That can hurt because you never had yep. anybody else play before. Elmont had a couple down years. They're hungry. Croslex lost a lot, but these new kids want to prove themselves. Armada, hey, don't forget about us. We're on the up and coming. You know, it's really any four of those teams. We watched Armada beat North Branch last year. Then you watched Croslex just steamroll everybody. Mm-hmm. But you watch a team like Elmont that had a stranglehold on the BWAC for the longest time possible and was only 3 years away from a state runner-up.
All right, I would make my pick, but we're running out of time, so we got to move on here.
You got time.
We'll take
Throw
our break out. Here on the Sportsline High School Football Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show. Sportsline now on Mondays and Tuesday evenings. We move on to eight-player football real quick here. Eight-player football game, two teams. It's our game of the night. Brown City Green Devils playing their first ever high school eight-player football game. They'll host the Peck Pirates. And the NCTL is where it's at, but Brown City is in no league. They are playing a huge independent league, so this is the only area coverage team or game that we're going to be able to get them here, Mike.
Yeah, if you want to see Brown City, see them week one. They do have a couple of Saturday games later in the season, but yeah, their schedule, it's
Well, they made the switch so late that they couldn't find anybody.
And so the reason for that is you have to base your enrollment off of your winter count date, and those numbers don't come out until the spring. So Brown City, they knew they couldn't get into the NCTL because the NCTL brought in KPAC and Oakland Christian or Oakland Catholic.
But they also dropped quite a few teams.
Kind of.
They dropped Morris and all
that. That's true. But the NCTL, you got to have two in together.
Yep, which makes sense.
So Brown City, they knew they couldn't get into the NCTL. And if you're over the 215 number, you can't qualify for the playoffs.
Are they over 215?
That's what they were waiting for the
because if they were, they were going to try to make 11-man.
They wouldn't have had anything to play for. You don't have a conference. You don't have a playoff. You know, you might as well stick with 11-man another year. But it did – It hurt them because it's hard to put together a schedule that late.
Yeah.
Peck did them a huge favor because, Peck already had a week one opponent. They were supposed to play Genesee. They get out of that game, and Peck-Brown City is just such a huge rivalry. It hasn't been, obviously, for the past decade with Peck being an eight player, but for the longest time, Peck-Brown City was week one.
They're not that far apart from each other.
No,
that's why.
It's a San Juan County rivalry. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great to have that back. I have no idea who's going to win week one, though. There's so many questions.
They're going from 11-player to 8-player. They're going to dominate. That's not the case, people. I mean,
Peck, hard adjustment.
Peck knows what they're doing. They've been an eight player for a long time. It's not like Brown City was an Adrian Lenaway Christian that made it to the state semifinals and then goes down eight player.
Right.
Brown City, the last couple years, they struggled an 11 player.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the North Central Thumb eight-man league or eight-player league Stars Division. Now that Morris is out of the picture, Deckerville kind of feels like they're maybe back into the maybe league title picture, but you still have Kingston and Mayvale, and the Genesee Wolves are pretty tough teams also. We don't know what KPAC Chiefs are made of, especially when it comes to eight-player football. Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian, Lancers are in it. Burton Atherton, Wolverines also.
I'll say this about KPAC. When they're an 11-player, they had a kicker every damn year. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to factor into 8-man, but they always had a kicker in 11-man.
Well,
so I want to see some field goals kicked in 8-man.
Here's what I'll say about KPAC. We don't know what to expect, but we'll find out week two when they play Deckerville.
And week one against North Huron.
What a way to get welcomed to 8-player. You get to play North Huron and Deckerville back-to-back.
Well, we know what Deckerville does. They run. Can they pass this year?
Yes. They graduated their quarterback from last year. Well, last year, Cam Stone and Ethan Bowerman both kind of split some time back there. But this year, they're going to have Garza at quarterback.
That kid is athletic.
He was throwing it around the other night at the Kingston scrimmage. The best thing about him at quarterback is he's got Derek Osborne and Connor Palmer playing the two tight end positions. I feel like Eddie could throw touchdowns to Derek Osborne. I mean,
that might be the best hair duo also.
Oh, yeah.
Palmer and Osborne, their hair just flows, too.
Yeah.
Scotty, we know that Kingston likes to throw and run. Kingston Cardinals, what do they got this year?
They got some athletes. The biggest question mark with Kingston this year, and from what I, from the coach's talk and from watching the scrimmage, is their running back. Boone DeLong was supposed to be their returner this year. I don't know exactly what happened there, but he is not on the squad this year. So that's going to be the biggest question mark. There is a rail. It's not the rail from last year that would roll over a lot of people. It is a more shifty back. They do have some wideouts. Turner Marquardt. Trying to think of some of the other ones that went up and got some touchdowns the other day. Trent Marquardt was one of them. They got Owen Corliss, who is the quarterback who can run and throw. He could surpass 1,000 yards on both sides for passing and running this year.
I'd say he's the front runner in the TSA eight player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, at the scrimmage the other day, he was just making defenders just look like they're on skates. I mean, he was just all over the place, and it was a good scrimmage between Deckerville and Case. I know it's a scrimmage, but it got you that much more hyped for the game and for the possibility that maybe Kingston can beat them for the first time since the year I was born. So it's been a while.
Yeah, they were 5-4 last year, but they lost games where they lost by 8 to Meesick. They lost by 6 points to Genesee. Winnable games there for Kingston. Lost to Deckerville. That was a great game also that we covered last year. 20-24, 4-point loss there.
Yeah.
So And of course, they lost to Morris, who was the champions of the NCTL.
Yeah, and, I don't think anybody's going to miss Morris.
Nope. Yeah. Or Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart.
No.
So,
I will say real quick about Genesee, they lost a lot of athletes from last year. I don't know what they're bringing back, but
Alton
I just
Davis
don't see them
was
being
awesome it. Last year. Yeah.
I think he was one of the ones that graduated.
Yeah,
he was. And from what I heard, after he graduated, they took a huge hit.
And tell me about Goldie Hawn's Wildcats there in Mayville. You don't remember the movie?
I don't think a lot of people are going to get that reference.
Okay.
It was over my head, I'll admit.
Yeah.
Mayville is, they're going to be finding out who they are this year. They have some good athletes over there. They have this kid, Mason Halsney. He's about 6'3", 180 maybe. Just a big kid. Not quite at Osborne's level yet, but just a big kid. And he's only, I think he's a junior this year. So he has the potential to have a nice year at the wideout position. Hunter Levine taking over. Hunter Levine was the quarterback last year, but broke his leg, broke his ankle. He had an injury last year against Kingston, so they only saw two weeks and maybe a half a quarter of him last year and what he could do for the Wildcats before he got injured. So he's coming back. He's excited to be back under center. I think Mayville is going to have a learning year this year. And, Coach Mike Campbell, he's dedicated to that squad. He's a great guy, great coach. And you kind of root for them always just because they're kind of the underdog. I have a good feeling about Mayville this year. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think it's going to be tough for them, especially in the conference they play in.
Yeah, I want to point out about Coach Campbell. And when I saw them at football practice last year at a cross-country event, a lot of class by these guys that were practicing. And when they saw there was a big finish to a cross-country race, the players stopped practicing and started participating with the fans there with the cross-country event that takes place sometimes where they're practicing. So some big class from Coach Campbell there, by the way. All right, moving over to the North Central Thumb 8 player league in the Stripes. Heavily favored, I think, North here on PAC right now are the leaders, but can Carsonville Port Chandler make some noise this year?
I want to know about Akron Fairgrove. Sorry, Mikey.
Oh, okay.
I want to know about Akron Fairgrove because they got two athletes in the school that need to be known, and they're from Akron Fairgrove, so they don't get much recognition being from Akron Fairgrove.
Well, that's the nice thing about 8 player. You only need a couple guys.
Yeah, so Scotty, I mean, we've seen him in basketball. You know, throw up these ridiculous numbers now. The record doesn't show it. I know the Gatlin Guild, is it? He plays football.
Yep.
Does the other kid play football too?
Isaac Squires?
Yeah.
Yep, he is a newcomer this year, so he will be out there. Coach Trogan, he was a stud at Garber. He was a standout running back, and I believe played at the next level. But he's got high hopes for these kids as well. Gatlin, I guess he was phenomenal at wideout last year, just did not have anything around him. So I'm hoping that they're able to bring in something that can help, supplement him. I will see them week one. I'm going to check out that Kingston-Akron Fairgrove game. I'm just going to go cover it for the paper. So I will see them right away. I haven't seen them yet. I haven't seen a practice or scrimmage. I've just talked to the coach via email, and it sounds like he's got some athletes over there. He's got decent numbers. He's got enough to run a team, I tell you that much. So with the team, or with the school with only 90 in their enrollment, I think they're doing a good job of keeping the program alive.
All right, it's the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show. We're talking to Scotty Bowlesby of the Tuscola County Advertiser. We're going to leave off there and take a break and go to the top of the hour news and information. When we come back, we'll talk about the Carsonville Port Chandler Tigers and Mike Gallagher, who's with us right now for the Sandlot County News, and Jonathan Bisher, also my co-host for the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show. We left off on 8-player football, and we are into the 7 o'clock hour, so we're going into overtime. Mike Gallagher is going to talk about this next team. Carsonville Port Chandler.
This is one of the teams I'm most excited about this year. Eric Hartzell has just really built a program there. They had 22 guys out for football this year.
Wow.
They were right on the edge of maybe having a JV squad, which this is a school that was playing a JV schedule 4 or 5 years ago.
They do have to replace Trenton Mitchell. He was a four-year starter at quarterback, but it sounds like they have a plan for that. They have Nick Lewis in the backfield. He was the regional champion in the 100-meter dash last year.
So he's quick.
He's quick, and you know what it's like an eight player. There's a lot of space. There's a lot of space. So they'll have to replace Trenton Mitchell. They'll have to replace Mason Gorman, who was also with the program for 4 years, I believe. And he was really this versatile guy that they could put at tight end, running back, fullback, wide out. But the numbers are there. The excitement is there. It seems like the guys are buying in. And then you look at the schedule. Week one, Flint International. Week two, Akron Fairgrove. Week three, Ashley. And then you get into the bulk of your schedule. So, you know, you get this team going. It maybe
build some confidence.
3-0. I mean, how huge would it be if CPS started a season 3-0
going into North Huron?
And they had the players and the community buying into this team last year, and they finished 3-6. And that may not seem like a great record, but that's huge.
But everybody,
but they scored points last year.
Well, and you look at that Peck game. The double overtime game, the 44-42, I think that's when the program finally realized, okay, we're back. We can start winning games. We can be in the conversation. Well,
even Merritt, they lost to Merritt 42-40 also. Like they had a couple close games.
They have a few games that they'd like to have back. All Saints, 34-28.
That's a one-score game. Six points.
But so, they did meet up against North Huron. North Huron, of course, the last couple of years, great stretch. We had a fun time going.
We had a great time covering North Huron, Eddie. And I hate to break it to you, but I think those times might be over.
Okay.
They're going to be a little bit down.
They're going to be. I don't think it's going to be North Huron of the old. They graduated way too much this past year. And I honestly think the NCTL Stripes is pecks to lose right now.
Here's my just quick thoughts on North Huron. As you guys saw, they started the year with 10, I think, at that first practice that Paul covered. At the scrimmage last week, they had 14. So
they're going out and getting kids, which is good, but that's not a good sign.
But when I was at Peck's team photos, I was talking to Coach Rob McDaniel and he had heard they had 10 kids, and he said, but the thing with North Huron and the thing with Coach Chad Knobloch is they're going to have the right 10 guys. Mm-hmm. They're going to have the right 14 guys. So it's tough because you don't have that depth there, but you're going to have the right group of guys.
Well, they're going to have a brand-new quarterback this year. Mm-hmm. They lost the defensive player of the year and the offensive lineman of the year in Noah Coates. They lost the offensive player of the year in Will Case.
I mean, Case is going to be tough.
How do you replace Will Case, and how do you replace a guy like Noah Coates, a 6'5", 220-pound defensive end that was disruptive as could be an eight player, as you could be an eight player football when it's all about offense?
Yeah.
I mean, they are going to lose a lot, and I honestly, my bold predictions is it's Peck's conference to lose.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, let's circle back to that. We'll talk about the alma mater a little bit.
You know, it's Peck's to lose. I think they just, I mean, that guy you posted on Twitter, I can't think of his name.
Caleb Luttner.
That dude, the pictures you showed of him, he just looked. It's not even a video. It's pictures, and he just looks like he's so far out in front of everybody.
He is. If he can stay healthy this year, I mean, you look at Peck last year, Nathan Robar, almost 2,000 yards rushing.
And didn't win player of the year.
That's going to be Luttner this year, and maybe not necessarily player of the year. I think it's going to be Luttner and Corliss, and when you compare the stars and strike, that'll be a conversation to have after the season.
Right.
Caleb Luttner, we were at the scrimmage last week. He was the best offensive player for Peck, and he was the best defensive player for Peck. They've got him playing safety on defense, and with his speed, he is just cleaning up. Now, on the offensive line, Peck, they were very young last year. Every single lineman was either a freshman or a sophomore.
That's going to benefit them so much this year.
They're going to have so much experience this year. Steven Van Conant, he is going to be a menace at the defensive end position. But it goes back to the same thing with North Huron. Not much depth there. It's if you lose a guy, you're losing a starter on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot lose too many of those. And we've seen that with Peck these past couple years, where they start off really strong, and then the injuries get to them, and they just falter at the end.
And that's why
season.
I wanted to ask Scotty about Akron Fairgrove right away, because, you know, if North Huron goes down a guy, if Peck goes down a guy, if CPS goes down a guy or something happens there, you got a team like the Vikings that got two really athletic kids that we seen in basketball last year, and, you know, a good coach behind them, mm-hmm. they might make some noise in the stripes, because you never know what can happen in football. It's such a brutal season. I mean,
yeah,
you know from playing it, Mikey, you and me most recently, we're banged up constantly. You heard at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So it'd be very easily North Huron and Peck just all of a sudden drop 2-3 guys, and they're playing with 9 guys.
Yeah.
And at that point, that's when the school starts looking and going, is it really worth sending a team out there
right.
to where maybe a CPS or an All Saints or an Akron Fairgrove could get towards the top this year?
Right. And when you look at the stripes, you also have these wild card teams that we know nothing about. New Haven Merritt and Bay City All Saints. Ashley, I think we know what to expect from Ashley. But
we don't know if they got a stud freshman coming in or nothing. Yeah. We have no clue, but for the most part, we think we understand them.
Yeah, yeah.
Scotty, got anything to add?
Yeah. Yeah, if I was on ESPN College Game Day right now, I'd say give me that Tiger head, because I'm buying into CPS.
Let's go.
Wow.
All right, Lee Corso.
Well, because I got to see them early on in a practice, and Lewis just flew. That kid is all over the field. And an 8-player, you know, a player like that can do a lot for you. Mm-hmm. And I just think that Coach Hartzell has done a great job over there building up the kids and, you know, putting confidence into them and putting his faith into them. And I think he's done a great job of bringing that program back. Now, with that being said, I think I told Mike a couple of weeks ago my predictions, and I took All Saints in the stripes.
Yeah,
that's not a surprise by me.
Their numbers are big this year.
Yep, and like I said, I don't think North Huron is going to be the North Huron we all expect them. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I would love for seeing Chad Knobloch and North Huron just prove me 100% wrong, because that means I don't know what I'm doing and I need to do more research.
That's not
week one.
But that also shows that I did my research last year with Will Case and Noah Coates and Ty Moore and all those guys, and they were just amazing athletes. And for North Huron to have a class like that, you're like, okay, you know, there's hope for these small schools. Mm-hmm. Now you want to see with some other schools, like you talk about CPS with Nick Lewis and them. There's hope for these small schools that they can still do it.
Yeah, and now you got me excited for the Stripes division in 8-player football.
It's open. Yeah, it's an open door.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and of course, the big matchup for us is high school 8-player football to open up the Sand Lake broadcasting season. It'll be the Brown City Green Devils hosting the Peck Pirates. Quite a matchup there. It's going to be fun to cover because it's been a long time since these teams met in a football.
You know, it seems a little bit odd to say, because Brown City had, what, one win last year? But they had...
I don't even think they had a win last year.
They had a lot of athletes on that team. And I think they're going to transition to 8-player. They have the athletes. They have Kyle Affer.
Clint Ford. And Gaden Muxlow, if he comes back
to
play quarterback.
He will not be back.
Is he not? Okay.
The quarterback will be Ethan Worrell. And so last year, Muxlow...
He was the freshman that came in at the end of the year, wasn't he?
The third string quarterback.
Yeah, after Ford went down too.
Tough situation for him to be in, but he led Brown City to their only win against KPAC. That experience is going to be huge. They have a lot of seniors on the team, including along the offensive line. It's going to be, I think when it comes to 8-player, the hardest adjustment, though, is on defense. It's really hard to play defense.
How do you defend
football?
How do you defend a Nick Lewis running a 4-4-40 right down your throat when you only got 6 guys to stop him because 2 guys are ate up by offensive linemen?
So I think for Brown City, now we saw in the scrimmage last week against Deckerville, Deckerville, first drive of the game against Brown City, right up the middle, just touchdown. Okay, after that, Brown City settles in a little bit. They're like, okay, this is a little bit different, but we're just settling in. And they looked okay after that.
Hmm.
Now, if they can do that on defense this year, they're going to be an okay team. I personally think they're going to be in a lot of shootouts just because of how good their offense has the potential to be. They have such big play
capability,
yes. So, I mean, and that's what 8-player is all about. And I'm really excited to see what Brown City does. They're Their schedule is tough, though.
It's nice to see them relevant again.
Yes,
because they haven't been relevant in the Greater Thumb Conference in quite some time. So it's nice to. We don't know what we're going to get from them, but at least we're talking about them, saying there's hope for a team like this. You know, this is why eight man football came to Michigan.
Right.
It started with the Casevilles and the Owen Gages and the CPSs getting some chance, but now you're starting to see these other schools. Okay, we can't compete with Ubley and Lakers and USA and Reese. We're small enough. Let's go see. It might take us a couple years to adjust, but let's go see if we can maybe win a league title, not necessarily a state championship, but a league title, and be relevant in the area again and make the kids in elementary school want to play football.
Right, right.
All right, I knew this was going to go off from 5 minutes to 20-minute segment on eight-player football. Scotty, you have anything to add before we part?
No, that is it. I'm excited about the season. Very excited about all the question marks to be answered.
All right. By the way, the last time Peck met Brown City in football was in 2011. They lost to Brown City 42-0 in 2010.
12-49. What year was that? 2011.
Yep.
Last year, Peck had 11 players
in football. Yeah. And in 2009, Peck lost to Brown City to 63-0. And the last win for Peck over Brown City in football was in 2008, a 30-7 win. So Peck has a chip on their shoulder when they come to Brown City for 2022 high school eight-player football.
Do people hold grudges for 10 years?
Most certainly. I don't think the kids that are playing are going to have any idea what's going
Scotty,
on. But Mikey's holding a grudge.
Maybe McDaniel will remember.
Scotty, you're from Sandusky. You know how to hold grudges, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Even though I married a Deckerville girl. I don't know what I was thinking, but
that's why you became a better man.
That's why he moved over to Caro. All
right,
so Sandusky kicked him out.
All right. Well, I knew we were going to go in overtime on the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show, but guess what? I'm the program director, so I can preempt programming in the 7 o'clock hour. So we will be going.
And that's why we love Eddie.
Let's keep going.
Let's go. I got so much more to talk about.
But we're all done here with Scotty Scott Bowlesby, the sports writer for the Tuscola County Advertiser. Pick up his preview newspaper tomorrow, Wednesday, or get the online subscription. Sand Lake County News preview is out also with Mike Gallagher, sports writer, editor. Scotty B, let's talk sports still coming on 92.1?
As far as I know. I'm just taking it day by day at this point, but I think so. I got to talk to the guys. But
he sounded like Eddie in years past.
And that will be at 10 a.m. on 92.1 for your Saturday sports show, as we are moving our sports show to Monday and Tuesday evenings now. So,
excellent,
Scotty B.
I'm sure I'll be around again.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you for being a guest. We hope to continue to have you as a contributor.
Absolutely, anytime.
All right, and thank you, Mike Gallagher,
once again. Thanks for having me. Yeah, glad to be in.
You can stop by anytime.
Glad to be in on a Tuesday evening instead of a Saturday morning.
So much nicer.
And Jonathan Bisher from Thumb Chugger Sports, coverage
new
games.
Sports director. What a
title. Eddie's giving me the keys a little bit.
Yeah.
And to an extent. I got the spare set of keys. How does that sound?
Yeah. Sandusky at Lakers on thumbtugger.com, Channel 1. And on Channel 2, we have Cassidy at Reese. So pretty good matchups there. And Scotty, your game coverage once again?
Millington, Detroit Southeastern, starting at 6 p.m. pregame and 7 o'clock kickoff.
First game of the new tenure for Coach Germain over there at Millington.
Oh.
Coach Germain, yep.
Wow, okay.
Brand new coach.
And, of course, our game.
We'll still go to the playoffs.
Our game, Peck Pirates at the Brown City Green Devils on Thursday evening, 6:30 p.m. on 92.5. Coming up, finally, we'll have Paul Adams, my one-on-one interview with him, coming your way here on Sportsline High School Football Sports Show on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Yes, we're going in overtime, so tune in for that into the 7
o'clock
hour.
First game of the year is going to overtime.
All right. Thank you, guys. It's Eddie Fury here on Sand Lake Broadcasting Sports Line in the evening, debuting the show here on a Tuesday evening, folks. And then we'll make this a daily occurrence or a weekly occurrence on Mondays and Tuesday evenings, talking high school football and trying to get it all in here in 2 days, along with other sports. With me is the Huron County View sports writer and editor for the sports section, you could say, Paul Adams.
Hey, good to be here. I was going to say sports editor there, buddy, but you got it right.
Yeah, you cover all the bases there pretty good. And you do special events, I believe, right?
Yeah, I'm a jack of all trades.
You were just practicing some golf shots in the backyard.
I was. You know, it's sometimes I just get out and you know, enjoy the nice evening and hit a few balls in the yard. So
yeah, that's about what.
Definitely got time for you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. And you know, we spent at least one event together, and that was at AAW with Dave Hansen.
It was a great show.
Yeah, it was at the Little Caesars Arena. So very cool. All right, so now you get off the golf course and now onto the football fields, and of course the volleyball courts and the cross country running. Who knows what else is out there?
Soccer pitches. Don't forget about them.
Oh my goodness! So it's all out there.
It's a busy time. Fall sports is the best time of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah, but our focus, of course, is the high school football. And let's talk about some of the teams in your coverage area. A few changes this year in the Greater Thumb Conference, not only with teams dropping, two teams leaving the Greater Thumb Conference to go to A-player football, but a team now moving over to the east side of the Greater Thumb Conference, and a little bit of change of dynamics this year that happened within the last few months here.
Yeah, a lot of change, Eddie. You know, if you look at the Greater Thumb West right now, USA coach Josh Hahn is now the longest tenured coach in the West at 6 years. The rest of the West features all brand new coaches and one second year coach with Dave Levasseur over at Lakers. And people would be like, well, what about Scott Cottrell? Well, Scott Cottrell is the longest tenured coach, one of them in the conference, but he's going over to the East. So the West has a whole different dynamic to it when you take out Cass City. And you look at what's left, and I think it leaves the door pretty wide open for Lakers and Bad X to emerge as the favorites. But you know, when you look at what that does to the East, I think the East is as tough as it's ever been. You know, quite frankly, you trim some of the fat with you know, Brown City and K-Pac going to the 8-player football, and you replace them with a really good established program like Cass City. Which Cass City plays that kind of rough and tumble style of football that the East is already used to playing. So I think the East got a lot tougher, and I think the West is still really tough, but a little bit more wide open with the loss of Cass City. So just with a few teams changing around, going to 8-player, changing conferences, and then a bunch of new coaches coming in, the Greater Thumb Conference, it's really hard to predict right now.
Yeah, and the Greater Thumb East was already strong as it was, but with having Cass City in now, the matches are salivating. But for one thing, Cass City already played a lot of crossover games against Ubley and Harbor Beach in the past, and Sandusky, which they always meet up with in the playoffs. So they are familiar opponents, but to now lay claim to the Greater Thumb East, I mean, they would love to put that on their mantle. I mean, there would be one of the few teams that say we're Greater Thumb East champions in the past, or I mean, could be Greater Thumb East champions, but also Greater Thumb West champions to put in their trophy case. I don't think any team can say that's ever happened in quite a while.
I would agree with you, and you know, until this very moment, I never really even thought about that. But you're right, Eddie. I don't think any team could ever say that. So you know, Cass City's in a unique spot because, as far as I know, this is a 1-year deal. This is not a permanent solution to the Greater Thumb Conference. There's a lot of changes coming. This was just a 1-year deal. Cassidy said, we'll go do it for 1 year. We'll see how it goes. And then everybody's going to evaluate. But as far as what that means this year, you know, I talked to Coach Shelkey over at Harbor Beach, talked to Coach Sweeney over at Upley. They love it. They love the move. You know, kind of paraphrasing Coach Sweeney over at Upley, he said, hey, you know, we want to be tested. You know, playing a game against a K-Pac, which, by the way, Ubley hasn't played K-Pac in the last 2 years because K-Pac's forfeited both the last two years against Ubley. So Ubley's been really upset about that. But, you know, playing those games, you know you're going to win. It doesn't make you any better. But when you take a Cass City and you put them in the East, everybody's got that Ubley Cass City game and the Harbor Beach Cass City games. Those are circled on the calendar because we don't know how they're going to go. And they're going to make all those teams involved better. So I just think overall, the East got better. It's addition by subtraction. I think the East got much better in this deal.
Yeah, and with the teams that dropped down to 8-player football from the East was K-Pec and Brown City, for those who don't know. That even makes 8-player football, I think, a little bit better also, having those teams drop down to make the scheduling and the travel base. I know Brown City, they did it late, so they're going to have pretty much one home game, and that's against Peck that we're covering on Sandlake Broadcasting Week 1.
Yeah, and you know, Eddie, and that brings up a perfect example, because as I go along my travels, I hear different complaints from different fans who don't quite understand and grasp the concept of why this team's playing 8-player and why this team's playing 11-player. And I hear that the two teams that people are upset about are Deckerville and Kingston. They think that Deckerville and Kingston are big enough to play 11-man or 11-player football. And maybe that might be the case. But I always tell them, if Kingston or Deckerville were to go 11-player football, who do they play? They're not going to be in the Greater Thumb Conference currently. So they're going to have to go seek games way outside the area, which doesn't make any sense, which is what you see with Brown City's schedule. It's a perfect example of they made the decision too late, and now they're basically barnstorming all over the state. You know, they had to do what they had to do, but you would like to see them make that decision a little bit earlier. And as for K-Pac, I'm going to get to see them this week. They're over at North Huron on Thursday. And that's a game I'm going to go see. Talk to Coach Knobloch over there. He has no idea what to expect. He goes, we have tape on everybody else. We don't know anything. We're going into this game with K-Pac pretty much blind with no scouting report.
Well, that's a good start for North Huron to have K-Pac. You know, they're kind of testing the waters in 8-player football. War. North Huron, they do have those kids who played what? Did they have a JV team last year? So they kind of have the experience as it is.
They did have a JV team last year, but they've only got 14 players, North Huron does this year. So, you know, I think the 14 players they have are good, but the concern is not for this year so much, but it's for the next couple of years. That is an alarming drop in participation at North Huron, where you were able to run a full junior varsity and a full varsity, and now you've only got 14. Coach Knobloch is also the athletic director over there, and you know, he said we've got to find a way to draw up some more kids, or our program's going to be in pretty bad shape here in the next couple of years. But I think they're going to be all right this year.
All right, so we'll pull back to the Cass City deal. They start off with 3 straight tough games, I think. You know, again, that we'll have in our co-friends or partners, Thumb Targeted Sports. They're going to be covering the Cass City at Reese game. And they'll follow that up with the Lakers and then Harbor Beach. So 3 games in a row right there for Cass City right off the bat. Kind of tough, you could say. Good testing ground for them. A litmus test, because last year we were 5-5, kind of in a rebuilding mode. Have they rebuilt for this year?
You know, I think they are. I think, you know, Coach Cottrell has a really good program over there. They remind me, Cass City reminds me so much of Ubley. Just the kids change, but the results really don't. And 5-4, you know, a little bit of a down year, but I think there's going to be a lot of wins for them to be had this year. If you ask me, I think they're the second best team in the Greater Thumb East this year behind Ubley. Harbor Beach might have something to say about that, but I think Ubley is the clear front runner. But I think Cass City definitely is going to be in that mix, and everybody's got that game circled on their calendar. I know I'm going to be going to Cass City when Cass City hosts Ubley. I can't wait to see that matchup. So, you know, like I said earlier, Eddie, they play that style of Greater Thumb East football, where you see Ubley, Sandusky, now Cass City. They're just going to line it up in the full tee, and they're just going to run it down your throats. And with a veteran coach like that, it doesn't matter if they're switching leagues. They're going to be in the league title hunt for sure.
And yeah, you got to have a good quarterback underneath to, you know, I guess control and read that defense on the line when you're running that full house wing tee. Cass City has that. But so does Ubley and Harbor Beach. So, you know, having those games like you talked about, those big potential matchups for Cass City up against Harbor Beach and Ubley, that's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'm very much looking forward to it. I haven't been this excited for the Greater Thumb East in a long time, because really it's been, you know, Ubley, Sandusky, Harbor Beach, and now you've got another legitimate contender in there with Cass City. We don't know exactly what Sandusky's got, but Sandusky's got a great coaching staff and a great system. So I think you could have a, you know, a 4-team race for that title and for potential playoff spots.
All right. It's the Sportsline High School Football Show. I'm talking to Paul Adams of the Huron County View, sports editor and reporter. We'll be right back after a quick break. More of Paul Adams here on Sportsline High School Football Show. And the show will now be on Mondays and Tuesdays for Sportsline Radio Show, 5:30 to 7 p.m. So tune in. We'll be right back. welcome back to the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show. I'm Eddie Feary, and still talking with Paul Adams of the Huron County View, the sports editor and reporter. We left off on Sandusky. And speaking of Sandusky, they'll take on the Lakers. That game will be on Thumbchugger Sports Channel 1. Go to thumbchugger.com, Channel 1. So, Sandusky, last year was a down year, the 3-6. Week one, we'll have this on Thumbchugger Sports also come Thursday. That was confirmed by you. You checked with the AD. That game will be on Thursday, and it'll be Sandusky at Lakers. Lakers last year, 9-3.
Coach Lavasser was at Lakers last year.
Yeah.
Coach Verberg left after the 2020 season.
There you go. Yeah.
At Lakers, this is the second year for Coach Dave Lavasser at Lakers. And, you know, I thought that was a team, Lakers, that got so much better as the year went on. And a lot, some of it had to do with injuries, but some of it had to do with the players getting used to a new system. Coach Lavasser runs a very complex offense in terms of the language that they use and the terminology that they use. And that takes time to get used to. And you saw as the season progressed that the Lakers got much more comfortable. And when you go back and look at their results, you can see that offense started to take off about midway through the season. And that defense was devastating last year. They played Pomona Westphalia, who I believe went on to play for a state championship, maybe even won it. They played them toe-to-toe for 3.5 quarters and then just kind of wore out. I believe that game was 20-0.
Yeah.
And I think that was a low for the season that Pomona Westphalia was held to. So Lakers really held their own and had chances to score a couple touchdowns in that game. I think they're going to take that momentum and really it's going to propel them this year. They get a big addition back from injury. Ethan Wisner was hurt in the first half of the first game last year, torn ACL, and wasn't able to play the rest of the year. And that was a big blow to them because he's a big part of their offense. He's a big man to begin with and a big part of their offense. He's going to be a part of a three quarterback system along with Jay Sears and Connor McCain. They're going to be weaving these quarterbacks in and out. Sometimes you're going to see two quarterbacks in the backfield lined up. It's a really cool system what they got. It keeps defenses off balance. They've got a massive offensive line too, Eddie, led by Luke Braun. His kid's humongous, 6'5", 290, legitimate Division I type prospect. And he's got some big boys around him as well. So when you've got a big line to protect these guys, they have athletes all over the place. I think Lakers, to me, is far and away, they're the favorite in the Greater Thumb West this year.
Yeah, and you talked about the Lakers taking Pomona to limit. We covered that game on Thumbchugger, I remember. I think you were there also. They lost.
I was.
They lost 20-0 in that game, but like you said, they had chances. That was last year, of course, but they have a lot of that talent you talked about come back and probably learned a lot from that. So have a little bit of chip on their shoulder.
They learned so much from that game, and they gained experience against a state championship caliber team. When I was over at practice, they were my first visit when I went around my practices, and they were in the Laker Legacy Center. And Coach Lavasser, he didn't hide what their expectations were. He says, we're starting practice indoors, and we want our last game to be indoors. Well, if you read between the lines, that means they want to be at Ford Field. And they think that they have the type of team that's able to contend for a state championship in a loaded Division VII. But that's the kind of expectations that they have at Lakers, and they should. The talent that they have on paper, if they can stay healthy, it's undeniable what they have coming back, and I really think that they have the right coach in place too.
Yeah, Pomona, by the way, did win that state title over Lawton, 14-0. To get to that point, they had to beat Travis City St. Francis, 28-21 also. So they also learned.
So it tells you that Lakers was in the, you know, in the – should have been mentioned with the best teams in the state in Division VII last year. They were that good.
Yeah, and so the Lakers this year, they kick it off against Sandusky, who's kind of like a little bit of an unknown. They're in a rebuilding mode like Cass City a little bit themselves. They got a pretty decent quarterback underneath, but we know what they do. They run full house wing tee also, and they can be quick, and they can scare you with a little quick pass from time to time also. So that's a scary thing to defend against, and that's what the Lakers really have to play is good defense against a wing tee offense.
They'll also have to take advantage of every offensive possession that they have.
Yeah.
The wing T is a ball control offense. Coach Jacobson, he has no problem taking one drive for a whole quarter. That's what they want over there at Sandusky. You want to take a potent offense and keep it off the field. And I think the Lakers have a very potent offense, but you can't score if you don't have the ball. So, that's the kind of offense that Sandusky possesses. They keep the ball away from somebody else and really grind you down and wear you down. And that's, you never know what Sandusky's going to bring. Well, I know what Sandusky's going to bring.
Yeah.
They're tough. They're tough. Coach Jacobson, he's from that Jerry Herp, Bill Sweeney tree of coaching, and you know what you're going to get with those kind of guys.
So Lakers start off with Sandusky this coming Thursday, and then the second week is Cass City. But like what we talked about, Cass City's playing in the Greater Thumb East now, so that's kind of like a little bit a notch that you can afford, but you don't want to lose because you don't want to lose those playoff points also. Playoff points are a really big factor this year, just like last year.
Playoff points mean more than wins this year, and that was the same thing last year. Six wins doesn't guarantee you anything now.
Yeah.
Used to, but not anymore. So the wins don't matter as much as playoff points. So you can get playoff points by even in losses. If you have a tougher schedule, I believe Vassar made the playoffs with four wins last year because they had a tough schedule and they were able to squeak into the playoffs. So, playoff points mean everything. Wins, not as much.
So Lakers, looking at their schedule here, they kind of set themselves up for a potential Greater Thumb West title also, as they'll start off with Sandusky. That's a Greater Thumb East game. Cass City now a Greater Thumb East game, and then they'll have their league game against Vassar, USA, and Carroll. Potential wins, according to us, in the last several years they've had them. And then they'll have Carroll, and then Reese is like, maybe that block right there because Reese has kind of made some strides here in the last couple of years. That'll be in September 30th. In fact, Lakers lost to Reese last year, if you recall, with that 9-3 record and going into the playoffs despite that.
And then I believe they blew them out in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a wake-up call for Lakers, but that also had a lot to do with injuries. I don't know. Reese has got a new coach and a lot of new personnel, so it's hard to say what Reese is going to bring this year.
Yeah, Reese was 8-2 last year, and then their second meeting with Lakers, they also lost 49-6 in the first regular season meeting. Reese had won over Lakers 27-18, but then the second meeting they lost 6-49. So following that game right there, pretty much it comes down to the Greater Thumb West title after Reese, and then they'll have Bad Axe. Let's talk about Bad Axe. So some changes once again there at the Hatchets.
Yeah, well, you're talking the last two co-champions have gone to Bad Axe. Bad Axe is a back-to-back Greater Thumb West champion. They've shared it both years, but they've had a piece of the title. They've made the playoffs the last 2 years. This is a stretch for Bad Axe football that we haven't seen since I started as a sports writer in the Thumb back in 2000. That's how far back you have to go to when Bad Axe has been this good. So, and expectations are extremely high for the Hatchets again. But they have to get used to a new coach.
Yeah.
And that's what you kind of alluded to earlier. The new coach is a familiar face. He was the defensive coordinator last year, but 2 years ago, he was on the other sideline wearing green and white. That is coach Steve Verberg is now coaching the Hatchets. And if you'd have told me 3 years ago, if we were having this conversation, that Steve Verberg would be coaching head coach of Bad Axe varsity football, I would not have believed you, but circumstances are what they are. And, he's the new man in Bad Axe, and he inherits a team with a lot of talent, a lot of expectations. It's definitely going to be interesting.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is they're going to have to get used to a new offense.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys have been running the same offense for really since they've been in grade school. Coach Verberg's going to come in and change that up. So it's a matter of how quickly they can adapt to a new offense.
And explains why Lakers coach Dale LaVassar had to change his offense because he knew that Steve Verberg knows that offense that he left there. He says, I got to change it up here. And so those scenarios is just like it just sends you in a tizzy on what's happened here between these two teams and the coaches.
And I'll say Coach Verberg, he's an excellent coach overall, but he's a really, 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 really good defensive coach. Bad Axe was very strong defensively last year. I expect that to be a staple this year. They got the big fella, Jake McPhee. He's a monster. He's got the long blonde hair. He's got the look, but he's got the skills. Keaton Braun, he's going to be Keaton Brown, I think, in Bad X, Brown or Braun, depending on where you are in the thumb. He's going to be at the quarterback. He's an experienced guy. He's been there. I think this will be his third year running quarterback. He's a great defender, too. Griffin Meinhold, one of the best all-around players in the area, great kicker. So there's a lot of good pieces there for the Hatchets. And, you know, I think that Greater Thumb East, or excuse me, the Greater Thumb West, definitely comes down to Bad Axe and Lakers.
Yeah, last year, 7 straight wins for Bad Axe, and then the 3 straight losses, I believe. They lost to Lakers by 1 point, 20-21, in the regular season, and cost them probably did they share that title?
They shared the title last year.
Yeah. So, and then they lose to Ubley in the regular season and lose in the playoffs to Hemlock 20-12. So still, that was pretty darn good for Bad Axe last year and what they were able to pull off.
And they were absolutely taking it to Ubley. They were taking it to Ubley in the first half, and then Ubley made some adjustments, and Ubley rallied and won that game. But that game was very much in doubt for over 3 quarters.
And we're talking to Paul Adams of the Huron County View Sports. That's Huron County View Sports editor Paul Adams, talking football with him in his coverage area in Huron County. We're going to take a break and be right back. Welcome back to the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show. All right, so talking to Paul Adams of the Huron County View, and their preview issue will be available this coming Thursday, so pick up your copy or check it out online also. But let's touch on your take and get your take for Ubley and Harbor Beach also.
I'll start with Harbor Beach, and we can end with Ubley. I think Harbor Beach is sneaky good this year. I really do. I think that this is a team, well, you're looking at possibly 7, maybe 8 wins. I think they lose to Ubley. I don't think they're quite there, but they have maybe the best quarterback in the Greater Thumb Conference. And when I say that, I mean actual quarterback. I don't mean a running back who's kind of calling the plays. Canton Babcock is a legitimate athlete at quarterback. He throws a great ball. He's got receivers too. Jace Knobloch is one of them. He's an experienced senior receiver. I think Jordan Booms is another one. They got a kind of a secret weapon that you're going to be hearing about, Eddie, over there in Pirate Country. They're really excited about this kid. He's a freshman. They got a freshman starting on varsity, and you do not see that very often in Harbor Beach or really much around the Greater Thumb Conference. His name is Benson Harper. Remember the name. He's a pure athlete. I saw him in practice. I thought he was a junior. He's only a freshman, so he's already got a man body about him. And everything I've heard is just a tremendous athlete. They can't wait to see what he's capable of. Another kid that you're going to be hearing his name, Troy Wells. He transferred in last year. He wasn't able to play because of the transfer rules. Coach Shelkey's really excited about him. So I think there's a lot of talent there in Harbor Beach. And they have that potential to win 7 or 8 games. And the East could come down to them, Ubley, Cass City. That's probably the way it should come down to. But Harbor Beach is going to be very good, sneaky good this year.
Yeah, and speaking of Harbor Beach, they'll kick off their first week with USA. That's Unionville Sebring. Follow that up with Reese, back-to-back Greater Thumb West Conference. And now, used to be the West, but they'll have Cass City in week 3. So that's a salivating matchup, which they've already met in the past in the regular season as it was. And then they'll have Ubley, Marlette, and Sandusky. What a tough schedule to start off for Harbor Beach.
It is. There's you can say that about every Greater Thumb East team. When you start looking at it, you're like, what a tough schedule. But I think the coaches really like this. You know, that was another thing that Coach Shelkey and I talked about when I visited him. I said, what do you think about your schedule? He goes, We love it. We want to be challenged. We want to be challenged week in and week out. And, they're going to face those challenges. When you just mentioned who they're playing, very challenging. There's no let up in this schedule, and that's a good thing. I really like that. There's really no gimmies in the Greater Thumb East this year.
And you mentioned Harbor Beach's quarterback. I think Harbor Beach is probably one of the best that can handle going from spread to wing T. They've got that down pat. It's been in the system for many, many years. They're able to switch it up. And then also some sneaky formations they'll throw in there also is what they have the advantage over some of the offensive teams here that were.
You know, when you have athletes, take advantage of your athletes. And I think Coach Selke, he started recognizing that back during the run where they, you know, it's the 10th anniversary this year of when they won the state championship. And he started recognizing that even before then, hey, let's not force these athletes into a system. Let's let these athletes go in space and do what they do. You know, you think about the Eli Crafts and Sloan Klaskys and players like that. And that philosophy is carried through 10 years later. Coach Shelkey's still doing that. But like you said, they still have that ability. Line it up full house, wing tee, and smash it down your throat as well.
So from there, one quarterback, let's go to another quarterback who's been at the quarterback position for the last several years, maybe in his college, I jokingly say, in his red shirt season finally, is the Ubley Bearcats, Mr. Peruski there.
Evan Peruski is going into his junior season, and he started 25 varsity football games. He's gone to a state championship game and a state semifinal game and was a few plays from being last year in another state championship game. So all that in his first 2 years on varsity as a freshman and sophomore, obviously expectations are sky high for the Bearcats. And it starts with Peruski. But when you start looking at this roster top to bottom, a lot of these guys have been around for the last 2 years. They were on that state championship team. They were on the state semifinal team. All these guys know is winning. That's all they know is winning. They play their system. They do it well. I like one of the moves that they're making this year. They're taking an all-conference lineman, Aiden Kobiak, and they're putting him in the backfield. They're going to team him up with Mark Heilig, who I think they're shifting Heilig over to the halfback from fullback. I think Mark Heilig's going to have an absolutely fantastic season out of that halfback spot. This kid could honestly run for about 12 to 1300 yards and about 15 touchdowns. He is fast. And then you've got the threat of Peruski. You got a devastating defense, a great offensive line, really good coaching staff. When you look at when you go to an Ubley game and you look up in the booth, Eddie, you see former head coach. These guys know what they're doing. There's no egos. It's just they come down to the system. And then Ubley has the X factor that nobody in the area has, at least in my area. You may in the Blue Water area, but they have an absolute weapon as a kicker. Brett Mueller is the best kicker I have seen maybe ever in my time. And that's not hyperbole. And I only saw him for 1 year. He's only a junior now. And he's gotten much bigger, much stronger, much more confident. Last year, give you a quick stat. In the playoffs, the average starting position for Ubley's opponents was the 21-yard line. So his kickoffs were pinning the opponents deep, forcing the opponents to go 80 yards on a devastating defense. Not many teams can do that. And then he's automatic with extra points, and he can kick field goals. He's kicking them from 50 yards already in practice. So he's definitely got a great leg. So when you look at Ubley top to bottom, there's not a whole lot of weaknesses. Obviously injuries could affect their season, but they definitely have visions of a state championship running through their heads, but they're not getting ahead of themselves.
Yeah.
They got a tough schedule in front of them. And they're going to, you know, it starts with Bad Axe. Bad Axe is a favorite to win the West, and they've got Bad Axe on Friday. They can't wait for that game.
Yeah, and then they'll have Carroll, Marlette, then that backyard brawl with Harbor Beach, Memphis, Cassidy, Sandusky, USA, and Reese also for their schedule.
It's a great schedule for Ubley. When you look at that, it's a great schedule. Their crossovers are really good. Their league's really good. They're definitely going to – they should be able to really gain a lot of playoff points if they're able to run the table like we think they will. And you know, nobody comes into Ubley and beats them in the playoffs. So if Ubley has three playoff games, you can pretty much pencil them right in for the semifinals. So, when you're looking at Ubley, that's a total package right there.
Yeah, any potential four straight semifinal appearance if they can get through that, you know, tough gauntlet of the playoffs. It's hard to get to that point also. So, and you mentioned the kicker. Imagine we had him in 2019 against Beale City where we only lost by 1 point.
they win that game.
Yeah.
They win. They flat out, they win that game, and they would have played for a state championship that year. This kid's special. I think you've had a chance to see him yourself, Eddie. And if anybody's listening who hasn't had a chance to see him, go see him. This kid's going to be kicking in college someday. He's going to be kicking on Saturdays. That's what he wants to do. That's his dream. He's been working for it. He's been going to the camps. This isn't just some kid that's doing it for a hobby. This is a kid who his right leg's going to take him places.
Paul Adams of the Huron County View. Again, our interview went from 10 to 20 to almost a half hour here. Always great insight from you. It just happened so fast. And, man, the season is approaching us fast also. College football starting this week, and also high school football. A couple more weekends. We'll have the NFL also. So, you know, sometimes when I think, I feel tired because of the summer events and spring. The juices start churning your stomach here as you get to the field by then.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Eddie. And I think, I planned on, I'm only going to be on here for 15 minutes. I'm going to try to make this short, but you can hear the enthusiasm in my voice. I mean, I've been doing this for almost 25 years now, and I still get excited every time we start a new season. So I guess the moment I don't get excited for this is the time that I need to step away and do something different. But this is, summer's over. Time to pack up the golf clubs and, get to business. And I can't wait. We got games on Thursday, games on Friday. Well, bring it on. Can't wait to see what the new season holds.
All right. Great knowledge and insight from Paul Adams of the Huron County View Sports. Check that out. The issue, preview issue, available Thursdays. And your issue always comes out on Thursdays also, right?
That's correct.
Free of charge. Pick up your prints or check it out online also at Huron County View also.
Yep. Paul. No paywalls here. So everything's free. Come and see the information we've been working on.
And that's because of the advertiser, so don't forget to patronize.
That's because of our advertiser. So thanks to our advertisers for making everything that we do is free to the public. We don't hide behind paywalls.
All right, Paul Adams, thank you. And, hey, thank you for debuting. Now that we move Sportsline to the evenings on Mondays and Tuesdays on this Tuesday night show, come next week we'll have our show on Mondays and Tuesday evenings from 5:30 to 7 p.m. also. How do you like that move?
I like it. I'm available for you anytime. Those days work good for me. Just shoot me a text, and I'll be happy to be on anytime you want.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
All right. Thanks, man.
We'll be right back.